victorious once again. It is Jay's Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Long, show Ali with you. Blue Jays winning it 8-1 tonight, and show they just cannot stop scoring runs and winning ball games. They have a successful return to Rogers Center after, of course, a successful road trip through New York and Baltimore. So many things to talk about in this ball game. A lot of big moments and a lot of big milestones for some of the Blue Jays tonight. We can talk about Vladdy, 45 home runs on the season now, a career high for him, of course, leading the major leagues, and of course, besting his father, Vladdy Sr., who his career high for a single season was 44 homers. So Vladdy hitting his 45th tonight. Teoscar Hernandez with a 5-hit game, the first of his career. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. stays hot with 3 hits. And of course, Alek Manoah, who not really gets overshadowed in this one, but because there were so many other positive things that went down, you kind of get lost in the fact that he went 8 shutout innings tonight, giving up just 1 hit, striking out 10 in arguably the best start of his young career. So you were here, you know, all last week, you know, doing shows off and on with Josh. I've been away for a week. I was on vacation watching it from afar. So, I mean, you've been experiencing this more than I have. This is my first go around of sitting in this chair, being able to talk about this version of the team. And I'm sort of at a loss for words. I mean, what do you have to say for someone that is now, I guess, 10, 12 days into it?
Yeah, every time I think it's going to end, it just gets crazier and crazier and crazier, right? I mean, what? They were shut out through the first 3 innings, and then the runs just kept pouring in over the next 1 1/3, and they just never really stopped, right? I mean, the only Rays highlight, maybe the 2 Rays highlight from this game, are essentially the Kevin Kiermaier robbery of Lourdes Gurriel and then the Meadows home run at the very end. But just the Rays getting absolutely shut down by Alek Manoah, by the Blue Jays defense, and then the Blue Jays offense. I got to admit, I think you and I have done Blue Jays or Blue Jays baseball, Jays talk before, when Ryan Yarbrough was on the mound and he just absolutely carves up the Blue Jays. And I thought to myself, boy, I really don't want to see a McHugh Yarbrough headline where it says something like Yarbrough continues dominance over Blue Jays. And it really does feel like today was the game they used to get that Yarbrough boogeyman off their back, right? Because he was terrible tonight, and the Blue Jays got to him early. They got to him often. I thought it was crazy to think that their average runs per game in September was like, I want to say it was just under 9. It was like 8.7 or 8.8, which would, I guess, mean that scoring
it
8 runs
down
in this game. Yeah, their average run differential or average run scored is less now, and which is insane to think after an 8-1 demolition of the best team in the American League, you would think.
Now, the Blue Jays will face the Rays again before the season is over. Of course, they face them, I think, next week, in fact.
Right.
And, you know, Ryan Yarbrough, as you mentioned, has carved them up. And I was going to say this is sort of like the horror movie, the third act of the horror movie, where the Blue Jays, you know, they go through their trials and tribulations from the boogeyman. And now they're in the third act where, okay, we've figured him out, but they may face him again next week, and maybe he does get his revenge. But the Blue Jays finally solving the Ryan Yarbrough puzzle tonight, which was definitely big. But let's talk about some of the storylines here. Should also mention you can get us on the text line as always, 590-590. Give us your name and your location. We'll read those texts. We'll hear some post-game audio as well as we're with you until the top of the hour. But let's begin with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and his 45th homer of the season tonight. You know, it's been such a sensational season, and just milestone after milestone after milestone, and getting the 45th homer tonight in front of the home fans, I think that was great because, of course, you know, Vladdy's been doing a lot of his damage away from home this year, playing in Dunedin, playing in Buffalo. We saw him, you know, do what he did this past week out in New York and out in Baltimore against the Orioles. But it just feels like every single night he's doing something new, and there's new stats that link him with some of the greats of all time. And this one via MLB stats, Vladdy Jr. is the third player, 22 or younger, to hit 45 homers through 143 games in a season. The only two people ahead of him right now are Eddie Matthews and Joe DiMaggio, who hit 47. So Vladdy's 3 homers away from becoming the youngest player, 22 or younger, to hit 45 or potentially 48 homers through however many games. So that's sort of the pathway that he is on. And, you know, tonight, it was his only hit of the ball game, you know, scuffled in some at bats. Ryan Yarbrough did get to him, but takes a 97-mile-an-hour fastball low and inside from Adam Conley. And for people that haven't seen it, I mean, you got to go back and watch this home run, but it was about as frozen of a rope as you possibly could have seen. It was a launch angle of 15 degrees. And I saw someone on Twitter take a picture of a protractor and basically show what that looks like. So if you've got a protractor at home, just look at what 15 degrees is. And that's how high the ball got off the ground before leaving the fence, just barely. But it was at 114 miles an hour. And, you know, like I said before, you know, Vladdy every single night creating these new milestones and passing his father for a single season home run record. It's, you know, this September has just been one to remember, if we're going to do a little rhyming. And, you know, Vladdy, after such a rough August, it's just great to see that he's bouncing back when his team needs him the most.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know what, I think we can probably have the, to a degree, have the AL MVP conversation tonight if you want. I mean, I think you and I specifically, Rob, I've texted you about this on days where neither of us are working, about how much I love to watch Shohei Ohtani, right? I think I've never made my love for watching Ohtani secret. And I asked this question to Kevin Barker a couple of nights ago. I think it was after game two of the doubleheader. And I asked Kevin, hey, is what Vladdy Jr. is doing right now, does it make the AL MVP race closer for you, especially if the Blue Jays do make the playoffs? And I mean, now he's number one in home runs in the entire league. He still leads the league in batting average. I want to say he has 318 is his batting average right now. And he is, I want to say, either third or fourth behind Jose Abreu and one other guy for RBIs, right? So if that's the case, if he does get the triple crown, or even if he doesn't and comes close, he leads two of the three categories, and the Blue Jays do make the playoffs, because last I checked, the Angels, despite all of the insane things, the unicorn-like things that Shohei Ohtani is doing out in Los Angeles, the Angels are still three games under 500. Like, the Angels are not making the playoffs. I think that's pretty safe to say, unless they too undergo some kind of Cinderella-like run towards the end of, or the beginning of October, end of September, the Angels are not making the playoffs, despite, no matter how good Ohtani is on the field, or how good he is on the mound. And the stuff he does on the mound is absolutely crazy. But I mean, if the Blue Jays do make the playoffs, I gotta say, I think I'm starting to change my mind to say that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has got to be the MVP.
Yeah, I'm not willing to go there. I think, you know, for me, it's been Ohtani for a few months now, and I know that he has slowed down and Vlad's picked up once again. And you mentioned it, you know, the triple crown stuff that's working in Vlad's favor. If he gets that, the Blue Jays potentially, you know, making the postseason, that also works in his favor when you've got a guy who's playing on a team that's under 500. You know, initially where I thought, you know, Shohei would be the runaway winner with the MVP award, I'm starting to think now that maybe Vlad will get some first place votes, but it just won't be enough to overtake Ohtani, because, you know, I think it's true. You and I, we're both a little close to the situation here. Not saying that people in other markets aren't watching what's happening here. They are obviously seeing, you know, what Vladdy and the Blue Jays are doing, especially of late in these last four games, including the Orioles series. And if you want to go back a little further, against the New York Yankees. But I just think the body of work in totality, it just leans in Ohtani's favor, just because it's something we haven't seen before. But if Vladdy continues to do what he's doing, wins the triple crown, I can definitely see him stealing some first place votes away from Ohtani and not having him as the unanimous AL MVP. But right. I still think Vladdy will come up short.
I feel like the only reason I bring it up really is because I feel like the idea that, I mean, it's MVP, so you're obviously going to focus on all the statistical categories for any one person, because it's that guy going out there and dominating on an individual level. And I understand that's why Ohtani is getting the much deserved pub that he does, because of the pitching stuff, which virtually no other position player does. I totally understand that, right? I still also am not 100% sure whether or not I consider Shohei Ohtani to be a pitcher who hits or a position player who pitches. I feel like I go back and forth on that a lot, but nonetheless, when it comes to the conversation between these two guys, and I totally understand what your argument, but at the same time, I feel like the success of the Blue Jays as a team, I think, has to be factored in to any kind of MVP success here, or any kind of MVP conversation. And I think that's why I feel like him getting the statistical numbers, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. getting the numbers that he has now, 1-1 in home runs and batting average, and close to number one for RBI, and the Blue Jays succeeding as well as they have been over the entire month of September, and conversely, the Angels being you know, a relatively bad baseball team. You know, I think that's kind of where my mind is starting to be changed. Sure, would that look different if Mike Trout and Anthony Rendon were like and completely healthy for the Angels? Probably, I'm sure a little bit, but that's the only reason I think I'm starting to have my mind changed. But hey, there's still virtually an entire month left of the season from now until the end of the first week of October.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I think that's totally fair. I think there are voters that weigh that into it, that the Blue Jays are right now a playoff team and the LA Angels are not. But yeah, it's going to be an exciting race down the stretch for sure, especially if Vladdy keeps this up and Ohtani maybe starts to slow down a little bit with the bat. But the Blue Jays win it tonight 8-1 over the Tampa Bay Rays. They've now won 4 in a row, 14 of their last 16 games as well. We mentioned Vladdy with 45 homers on the season. Alec Manoah, one of the other big stories tonight, 8 shutout innings, giving up just one hit, striking out 10. He is the right-handed Ryan Yarbrough, basically, of the Blue Jays against the Tampa Bay Rays. He only threw 97 pitches tonight. I think there were a lot of people, you know, that wanted to see him come back out and finish things off for the complete game, looking for that shutout. But look, he's a young guy. He went out there. He was great. I know he wasn't really taxed. He wasn't pitching a lot of stress-free innings. Only gave up one hit, right? It didn't have any base runners on. But, you know, you're at the part of the season, you want to save these bullets. I'm not saying that he could have come out there, give up a couple of runs, and, you know, he's down on himself. The guy's very confident in himself, of course. But Trevor Richards hadn't pitched since Saturday as well, so he was obviously in need of a little bit of work. But I just think it's a spot where, you know, I get it. People wanted to see him come back out. What a bit of cool moment to see him potentially pick up his first complete game shutout. But, you know, Alec Manoah, man, just continues to impress. And, you know, after his last time out, where maybe it was a little bit shaky, I think it was just great to see a bounce back in a big moment, in a big game against the Tampa Bay Rays. And, you know, it just feels like this guy isn't really, you know, someone that wilts under the pressure. Yeah. You know, he's going to have moments, of course, where he's a young rookie. We saw it against the Oakland Athletics in that game. You know, last time against the Yankees, it was a grind. But here he is in another big spot against one of the best teams in all of baseball. And for him to come through like this just, you know, gives you a ton of confidence in him moving forward.
I feel like Alec Manoah is one of my favorite players in the Blue Jays to watch from like a purely aesthetic viewpoint, because the guy is so he clearly has so much energy on the mound, and every time he gets, even he misses the strike zone by an inch, it feels like he like bristles almost, you know, like he kind of almost like a shiver goes through him a little bit. He just he clearly is one of the most outrageous competitors and on a team of like super competitive, highly trained athletes, right? It's remarkable to see. And that's something we've talked about a lot, Rob, the idea that Alec Manoah, no matter what the situation is, always seems to have that supreme confidence that the next pitch is going to get somebody, right? And I think that is supremely underrated when it comes to talking about pitchers, right? Like body language and that kind of stuff. You can always tell, I feel like, whenever you look at a guy on a mound or listen to the way he's, or watch the way he's nibbling around the strike zone and stuff like that. Alec Manoah almost never does that. He is one of the most fearless pitchers we've seen in some time, at least over the last couple of seasons. And if he continues to develop, I'm curious as to what his place in the rotation will be going forward, right? I think some people have had their faith in, I don't want to say, maybe faith is a strong word, but like their faith perhaps in Ryu shaken a little bit over the past couple of outings. And, you know, Steven Matz is what he is. He has been much better over the past 6-7 starts. So, you know, even if Robbie Ray is your guy, like we don't have to necessarily have the who's pitching in a wild card game. It's going to be Robbie Ray. If the Blue Jays make a wild card game, Robbie Ray is starting in that game. Yeah. But I mean, Alec Manoah is absolutely phenomenal. And I think I just look forward to see how he evolves over the next little while.
Well, I think what's big is that, you know, coming into the season, a lot of expectations for Nate Pearson, I think a lot of people, myself included, penciled him into the rotation and thought, okay, this is the year where we get to see what Nate Pearson is all about. And there's still a ton of question marks about him moving forward. But Alec Manoah has basically stepped in and replaced that, where it's now, okay, Alec Manoah is the new Nate Pearson, where you're banking on a young guy moving forward here. And I've said this so many times about Hyunjin Ryu when the Blue Jays, you know, signed that deal, that 4-year contract, that, you know, by you know, the second, third year, if he was still your ace, then that probably is not a good thing. And he's not a bad pitcher by any means. He's a perfectly fine, you know, mid-rotation guy, but he's now no longer the ace of this team. And you've got Robbie Ray that has surpassed him. You've got Alek Manoah, who I think people are starting to, you know, feel has passed him in the depth chart, like you said as well, in the hierarchy. And Jose Berríos.
Yeah.
I would trust Jose Berríos more at this point. So you've added him for next year as well. So, you know, if you keep this same rotation heading into next season, I mean, Ryu's, you know what, at best, your fourth guy right now, which is perfect. But that's, you know, what you were expecting when you initially signed him. And, you know, Alek Manoah, I'm really curious what the ceiling is for this guy, because, you know, as I mentioned, those last few outings against New York, against Oakland, they weren't particularly great, wasn't getting a ton of swing and miss. And you're thinking, okay, he's not, you know, a huge strikeout pitcher a la, you know, Max Scherzer or a Jacob DeGrom, right, or someone of that nature. But then you watch a game tonight where he strikes out 10 in 8 shutout innings, and you're thinking, okay, can he get to this level consistently and be that type of guy? I mean, that's such a high bar that is held for only, you know, the two guys that I mentioned and others like that, whether it's a Jacob DeGrom or a Max Scherzer. That's the elite of the elite. And I don't know if Alek Manoah can get there, but you see a game like tonight and just wonder, maybe there is a lot more swing and miss when that slider is working, when the changeup's working. He's got nasty, nasty stuff. And if he can, you know, continue working on that and perfecting it, which you would think, he's only 23 years old and this is first go round in the big leagues, then, you know, a start like tonight makes you wonder, maybe the ceiling is a lot higher than some people, myself included, think maybe there is.
So, like, what do you think, you know, if we're talking about what Alek Manoah's ceiling is, because I like the place for him in the rotation right now, right? If, like, if we're agreeing and saying that he is the de facto number three guy in the rotation, then, you know, and I think that's perfectly placed for the future of this Blue Jays team, right? I mean, Jose Berríos is going to be on this team next year. We know that for sure. Robbie Ray seems like, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen necessarily. You can never really 100%, pardon me, predict anything with certainty, but, you know, it would seem a pretty safe bet that he probably will be back. So let's say Robbie Ray and Jose Berríos are your one and two. I think I feel pretty good going into next season if Alek Manoah is your number three guy, right? I mean, no matter, and Ryu is going to be on this team next year as well, no matter what. So you hope he figures it out in the offseason. But if you come into next season with the top four already set, and then you basically try and make that fifth spot work, whether you are bringing back Steven Matz, whether Nate Pearson does take another step, that bodes so well for the long-term future of this rotation, certainly for the short term as well, where the contending window is open, right? Because I feel like we often forget, because of how the season has gone, Rob, I feel like we almost forget that it was almost slated to be next season was the season everyone was supposed to say, all right, this is when they're going to compete. Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro have had enough time to rebuild this roster. Next year is the time. But because of the Springer signing and the seasons you've gotten from Marcus Semien and Robbie Ray, the contending window has been moved up a little bit, let's say, right? And if you add in additions like Alek Manoah, I mean, I see no reason why this team can't beat any other team in a best of series, basically, at this point, right? I mean, the way they're playing right now, I know baseball, how many times have I said this on the air? Baseball has like the highest degree of variance in any sport. I know I say that on and on and on, but, you know, so you never really know what's going to happen in a playoff series or a single playoff game, certainly, when you talk about the wild card. But boy, I mean, the way the Jays are playing right now, if you get contributions like this from Alek Manoah and you continue getting contributions from Robbie Ray and Berríos and Matz as well, I mean, boy, the sky's the limit, man.
For sure. I said we were going to get to text a little bit later, but I just saw one here because I do want to get to it. And as always, please leave your name and your location so we can give you credit. Maybe this person didn't want to put their name and location because they wanted to stay anonymous. Keyboard warrior, maybe, if you want to put it that way. Okay. But this person said, how bad are you guys? Honestly, how bad are you? You get paid for this? Did you hear yourselves a few weeks ago? Now Alek Manoah is above Ryu. Like, screw your heads on, even partially straight. What an awful disease Sportsnet is towards major local teams. Manoah is Babe Ruth now. Like, holy, go to bed, guys. End the chat. That's what this person, anonymous, had to say. When it comes to Ryu and Manoah, as we discussed, I mean, Ryu is still, for me, he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But am I in a position where I trust him in any given start? I don't, right? Like, you saw him give up 7 runs to the Baltimore Orioles. We saw him give up 7 runs to the White Sox, 7 runs to the Red Sox. And this is all within his last 7 starts.
Yeah.
He did have some gems, 6 scoreless against the Yankees, went 7 scoreless against Detroit. But we're sort of at a point here where you're not really sure what you're going to get on a start-to-start basis. And that's what worries me. And, you know, for this person to say, you know, this wasn't the conversation a few weeks ago. Well, yeah, because Hyunjin Ryu did not give up 7 earned runs to the White Sox and the Orioles a few weeks ago. We were not having those conversations because those games did not exist. You are allowed to change your opinion when more evidence comes out. And sure, Alek Manoah gave up 6 runs against the Oakland Athletics, gave up 6 runs against the Washington Nationals. And I mean, we could put the caveat there that he was obviously dealing with the passing of his grandfather,
sure,
you know, into that start. So that was obviously tough for him off the field. But he goes out tonight and shoves 8 scoreless against the Tampa Bay Rays. If we're looking at the, you know, recent results here, I don't know how you can feel more confident in Ryu than you can in Alek Manoah at this point. If you want to say it's 50-50 and you'd flip a coin, that's fine. But to say overwhelmingly that, you know, Hyunjin Ryu is the guy you're going to take 10 times out of 10 over Manoah at this point, I think that's a little extreme for me.
I think, I don't want to crap on Ryu because he also said that before the Orioles game, his start prior to that, he said after that game that he was dealing with the tightness in his forearm or something like that, right? So maybe you can give that excuse to Ryu after the Orioles game because he was terrible in that game, right? I think he went, 2 1/3? And he basically, I think that was the game that you were not hoping to see a bunch of relievers used because it was the first game of a doubleheader, and then he got torpedoed, and the bullpen had to be used a little earlier than you might have imagined. And, of course, because of the heroics of other guys in the team, including George Springer, the team got bailed out of that deep hole he put them in. But hey, I mean, I just think that Ryu has been, I've said this before, Josh or Rob, I feel like Ryu has taken, you know, 2 steps forward and then 1 step back, right? And recently it's felt like he's taken 1 step forward and 2 steps back. And hey, I hope he figures it out because he's going to be on this team for a number of more years. He still has a couple of years left in his deal, and you hope that Ryu figures it out because you want him to be a part of this configuration, the starting pitcher configuration. But right now, if anyone else texts in to say, yeah, I'd take Ryu over Manoah, or hell, even if you take Ryu over Mats in certain situations, depending on the matchup and depending on the guys in the other lineup, you're saying you're taking Ryu every single time. I'm sorry. I don't believe that. No one would feel comfortable. You'd be like on the edge of your seat every single time compared to guys like certainly Robbie Ray and Barrios. But, and I think at this point, Alek Manoah.
Yeah. And that text came in from Jeff and Alora. So he decided to give himself some credit for that text. We always appreciate the text.
Sure,
good or bad.
Yeah.
We're going to read them on the air as long as there's no profanity. And as long as it's eligible to be put on the air, we will definitely read them, good or bad. But yeah, you're in a spot right now where, as Kevin Barker always says, you know, stuff plays at this time of year. And Alek Manoah, compared to Hyunjin Ryu, the stuff is off the charts in Manoah's favor at this point. Ryu is searching for it, like I said, coming off the bit of forearm tightness as well. So maybe that's playing a factor into what we saw the other night against the Baltimore Orioles. But Alek Manoah has just been sensational so far this season. 590-590 is where you can reach us on the text line. Give us your name and your location. We will get to those more of your texts coming up in just a moment. But I want to keep talking about this ball game tonight. And, you know, Teoscar Hernandez, 5 hits. Lourdes Gurriel Jr., 3 hits. Randall Grichuk, 3 hits. Breivik Valera, 3 hits. 7-8-9 show. 9 hits combined, and if you want to go 5-9, you've got the 5 hits from Teoscar, and you've got the 1 hit from Alejandro Kirk, so you got 15 hits there from 5-9 in your order. And as we always talk about with this lineup, when you're getting production out of the bottom third of it, it's most likely going to be a good night for the Blue Jays because we know what the top half can do. And tonight, Springer and Semien went 0-9. Vladdy had his homer. Bo Bichette had his homer. But it was really the bottom of the lineup. Teoscar obviously doing his yeoman's work there with the 5 hits, a career high. But the bottom of the lineup just continues to stay hot for this team. I mean, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. having just a remarkable September.
Oof.
Very similar to, you know, Vladdy in June.
Yeah.
When Vladdy was just red hot. This is like what we're seeing in Lourdes right now. And I mentioned it, after a rough June, July, and August, Randall Grichuk has found it. And you and I did a Chase talk, I remember a few weeks ago, where, you know, Randall was the post-game interview with Hazel, and he said, you know, I was working on some things,
right,
tinkering, and it didn't work.
Yeah,
and he's like, I got to get back to what I was doing before in 2020. So clearly whatever Randall's been working on has worked, because September has been his month right now.
So entering play tonight, our pal Ben Nicholson-Smith compiled these stats. Entering to play tonight, he was hitting 370, 438, 556. his slash line in September. And he was 3-4 tonight as well, right? So, here's my question to you about Randall Grichuk, Rob. And I was thinking about this while we were watching the game because I thought to myself, whatever he's done, he's found, whatever he's been trying has been working. So Randall Grichuk, I think to myself, Rob, that at the beginning of this season, remember when like other guys were struggling and he got off to a really hot start and we were all like, oh man, the new Randall Grichuk is here. He's experimenting with a swing. I remember Ben said that to me when the team was still down in Dunedin, that he spoke to Randall and he was like, yeah, I've been trying different things with my swing. I've been trying different things at the plate and it's working out. And then after a little bit of a swoon, he kind of came back down to earth. And it was almost like at times it felt like he was an automatic out and he wasn't playing every day anymore, which sometimes was out of necessity with Springer back, certainly. But, you know, now that we're seeing another, if you're on the Randall Grichuk roller coaster, we're now on the upswing of this roller coaster, right? I can't help but feel there's another downswing coming. So maybe it's just like fool me once, you know, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. I don't want to be fooled a third time. It's just like we use the term new Randall Grichuk. I don't want to get into the new Randall Grichuk conversation. I feel like Bart Simpson writing the chalk on the chalkboard, you know, I will not be fooled by Randall Grichuk one more time. I will not. But hey, I mean, I hope he has figured it out again, but I need to see him do it at least to the end of the month before I hop on the Grichuk bandwagon.
Hey, and at this point, I mean, Randall on this team, when everybody's healthy is the fourth outfielder, and he's a perfectly fine fourth outfielder. I think that's probably his, you know, best suited position. But we saw it, you know, before in August when they needed him quite a bit and he was not able to produce. And there were moments where, you know, other guys were getting ABs over him. But at this point, you know, when he's hot, you got to play him. When Randall's hot, you got to get him out there. And coming up with 3 hits tonight as the Blue Jays win it 8-1. Over the Tampa Bay Rays. Coming up next, we will get to your text. 590-590 is where you can reach us. Give us your name and your location. It is Jay's Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Long, Show Ali on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Blink, and they're back in the game. Because as long as they have outs, they have a shot. The Toronto Blue Jays play here on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Jay's Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Rob Long, Show Ali with you. Blue Jays can't stop winning. They pick up the series opening victory over the Tampa Bay Rays 8-1 tonight. At Rogers Center, Vladdy Jr. hits his 45th homer of the season, taking the league lead. One ahead of Shohei Ohtani, Alek Manoah goes 8 shutout innings, striking out 10, giving up just one hit to improve to 6-2. Teoscar Hernandez, a 5-hit night, a career high. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. stays hot with 3 hits. Randall Grichuk stays hot with 3 hits. Bo Bichette also homered in this ballgame. Everything coming up Blue Jays at this point. You can always text us, 590-590. Give us your name and your location. We will get to some postgame audio coming up in a few moments as well. But right now, let's get to those texts, Show, because the text line, as always, is blowing up.
Sure, let's do it. So I see here a lot of people want to know, Rob, and we kind of talked about it, but we can go over it one more time, why Manoah didn't pitch the 9th inning. I see a lot of texts about that. I see one here from Chris in Ottawa. Sorry to beat a dead horse with the Jays doing so well. Why not let him come in and start the 9th, perhaps get the shutout? Less than 100 pitches, should have been given the chance. Now Richards is unavailable tomorrow. Someone else saying, I trust hope there was a reason Richards was in for the 9th. Unable to listen to the whole broadcast, but I really hope there was nobody else. Let's see. I see one here from, all right, Paul and the Kawarthas. Why does Montoyo not let Manoah pitch the 9th? Might have been some kind of rookie record. And similarly, Brad from Cambridge, great game. Would have nice to have been seeing Charlie let Manoah get the complete game. I would have liked that too. Don't get me wrong. I think complete games, it's a little sexier, right? It's a little more fun to see. How often do you see complete games, not just from the Blue Jays, but from pitchers generally speaking? Not that often, right? So yeah, sure. I would have loved to have seen it, but I almost get the sense that, like you said, the season's getting a little late. They don't want to risk things with who we have now determined to be their third best pitcher in the rotation, Alek Manoah. And then on top of that, I feel like the Blue Jays have a very, maybe not strict, but a nice sense of where they want their relievers to get action. And I mean, Trevor Richards, I think he's in the, at the very least, the outer circle of trust, let's say, when it comes to the Blue Jays relievers. He hadn't pitched since Saturday in one of the games during the doubleheader, and he wouldn't have pitched. Like, if he didn't pitch today, he probably wouldn't get another chance to pitch until tomorrow, and maybe the Blue Jays have a strict two-day thing. Like, you know what? That's what they do with Julian Merriweather. That's the explanation I can come up with. I'm certain, I agree. I would have liked to see Manoa do it, but hey, I mean, it's not the end of the world here.
No, I don't think it's the end of the world either. I mean, you know, you saw Alec Manoa's reaction in the dugout after. I mean, he hugged Charlie Montoyo. He's pretty pumped. It didn't seem like a case of a guy that was, hey, I can't believe you're taking me out of this ball game. He was just very happy with what went down. But, you know, 97 pitches, I get that, you know, we've seen other Blue Jays starters go above that, you know, into the 110s even at times. But it's, you know, you're up 8-0, right? Like, you don't need to send Alec Manoa back out there. Like you said, it would have been nice to see him potentially get that complete game shutout, the first of his career. But a win is a win. I don't think Alec Manoa is going to be complaining about the Blue Jays coming away with a victory tonight, despite the fact that he wasn't able to go out there for the top of the ninth inning. I imagine he's going to have more of these opportunities in his career. He's just getting started at this point. What else you seen on the text line?
Yeah, let's do it. I see SJ from North York. Randall Grichuk is like an old car. You've convinced it's done, but just before heading to the dealership, it performs like it's prime for a stretch. Oh, rinse and repeat so you don't ever sell. I like that one. That is how I think of Randall Grichuk. He's not, like, he's certainly not old, but that is kind of how I see him when it comes to, like, the relative value of Randall Grichuk compared to other guys, like, you know, quote-unquote like him around the rest of Major League Baseball.
Like, I get that he is frustrating at times, and I wonder how much of the contract plays into it, of course, as it always does. Sure. I think for a lot of guys, yeah, because of the extension that the Blue Jays signed him to, and a lot of people question it in the moment. But I think if you take Randall Grichuk for what he is, a guy that's not going to walk very often and a guy that has extreme hot and cold streaks, then you're not going to be disappointed, right? When he's going hot, nobody right now is upset about what Randall Grichuk is doing. When he's going cold, that's when people say, well, why can't you keep doing what you're doing before? Well, that's been the whole issue of his career. You know, why hasn't he been able to be more consistent? But I think if you just look at him for what he is, you're not going to be disappointed. And right now on this team, you know, as a, you know, part-time outfielder, a guy that can, you know, play against lefty pitching and get starts there and play some good outfield, he's perfectly fine on this Blue Jays team and has, you know, has a utility. And right now, the Blue Jays, you know, probably don't need the 900 plus OPS that he's putting up because everybody on this team is hitting right now. But to have him, you know, there tonight, he had a big hit in this ball game to score some runs. I mean, he's been perfectly fine. And this September, you know, has given you faith again that, you know, Randall can find it from time to time. And, you know, there may come some moments here down the final few weeks where he comes up with some big hits, comes up with a big catch in the outfield. So I don't want to, you know, discard him at this point. The offseason is a different conversation. But like I said, if you just take Randall for what he is, you're not going to be disappointed.
I mean, at least it coincides pretty handsomely, pretty nicely, aligns pretty perfectly with George Springer being injured, right? I mean, because, you know, I would say probably for the rest of the season, maybe even into the playoffs, if the Blue Jays do make the playoffs, unless some kind of huge turnaround occurs, I would imagine George Springer is not going to be playing in the outfield for the rest of the season, right? The guy is, like, clearly not fully healthy. I don't think it would make much sense to have him, you know, trying to close gaps the balls in the outfield. So if he's not doing that and he's going to be DHing whenever he does play, then you know, you're going to expect to see, right, guys like Randall Grichuk and Jake Lamb and guys moving all over the alignment, both in the infield and the outfield. All right, let's get back to the text line, Rob. I see a couple here from people wanting to know about the AL East division lead, right? We're still in the wild card race, certainly, but this is always a fun conversation. I see Andy in Ottawa. That was a statement game, dominated start to finish, didn't allow the usual mistakes to give the Rays any life. Only 8 games back and 5 to play against the Rays. Just saying. I see another one here. Liz and Jimmy from Dundas. Forget the wild card. We want the pennant. And Mike from Alberta says, people thought it was impossible to make up 9 games on the Yanks. If they sweep the Rays, it could get crazy. Barker's prediction of 92 wins might be light. LOL. Mike from Alberta.
If the Blue Jays win the division, it would be one of the craziest comebacks in the history of baseball. Like, we all remember Rocktober, right? Or right, like when the Tampa or the Colorado Rockies went on their crazy run to the World Series and they had a September to remember. Well, it would be up there, or it would be very similar to the Rays when they came back and made the playoffs in the year that the Red Sox collapsed back in 2011. So, like, it would be just historically incredible if the Blue Jays were able to come all the way back from, you know, being fourth place in this division and being way back in the wild card and coming back to win the division. Like, that's just not going to happen. Even if they take all the rest of these games from Tampa Bay, like, Tampa Bay is going to win more games. But do I think Tampa Bay is a markedly better team than the Blue Jays? I don't. Like, if you put them in a three-game series right now, you go back to, like, last postseason, you know, very obviously the Rays were a better team.
Yep.
But right now, like, on paper, they're pretty even. Like, they both have big strengths, obviously. The Blue Jays offense is a big strength. The Rays bullpen is a big strength. They obviously play defense at a great clip. And, you know, I know Wander Franco didn't play tonight. You add him into that offense, and, you know, that changes things as well. But it's not as if I see the Rays as some juggernaut and the Blue Jays are some pesky underdog in these matches. You look at the games that they've played this year, they've all been pretty close. Like,
that's
the
fair.
Blue Jays have lost the games to Tampa Bay, but how many of those were late leads, you know, get coughed up by the bullpen? It's not like the Blue Jays are going out there and getting their, you know, brains beaten in by the Rays every time they play. These are tough games. I mean, this is one of the more lopsided games I think
that's
we've
true.
Seen in the whole season series. So, you know, while I do think it's unlikely that the Blue Jays are coming back and winning the division, and you can save that clip if you want, I feel pretty confident about it. Like, these two teams are not that far apart that if they do meet at some point in the postseason, if it gets there, I, you know, feel pretty comfortable about the Jays' chances of beating the Tampa Bay Rays.
Sure, yeah. I think, like, the only discernible advantage the Rays have is maybe the bullpen. Maybe the bullpen, right? But even then, I think with the way that guys, certainly Romano has been consistent virtually all season, then you add in Adam Simber, Richards pitched tonight, Tim Meza, right? You got Nate Pearson coming back, Julian Merriweather coming back. Joaquin Soria has been pitching much, much better as of late. And really outside just of that Oakland blowup, he's been pretty solid as his entire tenure as a Blue Jay, right? So I think you add in all of these guys, maybe it's the sheer fact that the Rays have more reliable receivers at this point would give them the slight edge over the Blue Jays. But I mean, hey, I'm not going to... If you want to say the Blue Jays are better than the Rays, I mean, certainly I think even with Wander Franco in the lineup, maybe the Blue Jays are still, with the way that the bottom of the order specifically has been playing right now, Lourdes, Kirk, probably depending on who else is available that day, might be in the bottom order of the order, but, you know, he's been moved up more recently than not. Certainly Danny Jansen, since coming off the IL, has been certainly more consistent as well. We just talked about Randall Grichuk. I mean, I think there aren't very many differences between the Rays and the Jays at this point in the season.
Yeah, it would be a heck of a series for sure with the Rays taking on the Blue Jays. Maybe you don't want to go down to Tampa to do it
sure.
at the Trop, which is a house of horrors, of course, for the Blue Jays. But just on paper, and even from what we've seen so far, these two teams are pretty close despite what the standings say. Let's grab a couple more texts before we hit the break.
Sure, yeah, okay. I see here, we just answered a whole bunch on the Jays catching Tampa and the standings. Owen in Toronto saying the last series of the year against the Yankees is the most important of the year. I see another one here, more of a comment. Actually, I like this one. Why don't we get to this one here, Rob? I see Justin in Toronto. What the Blue Jays have been doing is truly amazing. With the talent and depth this team has, the sky is the limit. Congrats to Teoscar for a five-hit game as well. I feel like he's the forgotten man and sometimes the unsung hero of this team. And I see someone else had texted that in as well a little earlier. Just trying to find, oh, here we go. Al from Brantford, some love for Teoscar, 5 for 5, great fielding. He gets overlooked a lot. I think that's kind of fair. I think that sometimes he does kind of get overlooked, right? I mean,
yeah.
We talk so often, we have the contract talks about Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien, like, I feel like every other night, and we don't have to do that tonight, thankfully. But Teoscar Hernandez, I know he's arbitration eligible, and his pay is going to go up. But I mean, I have no doubt that with the way he has transformed himself as a player over the past however many seasons, he is going to be a member, a long-term member of this club, just like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., just like Bo Bichette and many other guys for years to come.
Now, I believe it was Jeff Passan, right, that reported on this station a few weeks ago that the Blue Jays had tried to engage Teoscar in some contract extension talks this past offseason, and obviously didn't go anywhere. And Teoscar isn't a free agent until 2024. So clearly the Blue Jays have interest, or they had interest in potentially trying to extend him and get him on a long-term deal. But the fact that this guy's not a free agent for a few more years, and like you said, he's ARB eligible after this season, I think you just play it out, right? Like, why the hurry to try to extend Teoscar when you have him under team control? He's 28 years old. Mm-hmm. So by the time he's ready to be a free agent, he's going to be, you know, 30, 31. And maybe the conversation is a little different at this point. And maybe there's some other targets you look at that you want to potentially go after. Maybe he's, you know, not in full decline, but maybe he's not having the season that he's having, you know, right now or even last season in 2020. And you kind of get a little bit worried about, you know, potentially handing him a 5-year deal or something. So I don't, for me, I wouldn't be in a huge rush to just go out there and, you know, dump $80 million into his pockets right this offseason, because he's going to be here. He's not going anywhere. So it's not a big rush for me.
I think that's fair. I think maybe the counter argument from the Blue Jays front office might be, well, maybe they think he's only going to get better, or right, or maybe they wanted to lock him up before he got to this peak. So I guess he was good coming into this season, and everyone expected him, I think, to take a little bit of a leap, or a little bit of a step, but he has taken a leap instead, right? So I think perhaps they were hoping to grab him at a little bit of a discount, but I would say if he continues to play like this from now until the end of the season, and I mean, there's no reason to suggest he won't, I think the days of him getting a quote-unquote discount are probably gone, right? Like Fred Van Vliet, bet on yourself. Teoscar Teo bet on himself, and he's going to get paid. I mean, we already know that the arbitration numbers are going to push up the number of the amount of salary that guys like Bo and Vladdy and certainly Teo make this year. But I mean, long term, they're going to be making a whole lot more money than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette. When we continue here on Jays Talk, we will hear via translator from the new major league leader in home runs. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hits his 45th night, helping the Blue Jays beat the Rays 8-1. It's Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Robin Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Vladdy makes in-game at-bats look like batting practice. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and the Toronto Blue Jays play here on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Rob Wong, Show Ali with you here on Jays Talk, brought to you by your Ontario Honda dealers. Blue Jays win it 8-1 over the Tampa Bay Rays for their fourth victory in a row. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., 45 home runs now on the season, hitting a solo shot tonight to help the Blue Jays pick up the win. Post-game, he spoke via translator to Sportsnet's Hazel May.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr., congratulations. You now lead Major League Baseball with 45 home runs. At spring training, a Spanish reporter, you told that reporter that your father challenged you to hit 50 home runs. What did you tell him back then?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of games left still. I know I got 5 left to go. I'm just trying to go at bat to at bat and not to be anxious about it. And we'll see what happens.
You also surpassed your father's career home run total of 44. What will your nightly conversation tonight be like?
It's going to be a great conversation. I know I probably have already a few texts from my dad and my family. But, I mean, I'm just hoping to continue to do the job that I've been doing to keep helping the team win.
Your team scored 22 runs against an underperforming Orioles team, 8 runs against the first-place Rays. What did your team, Vladdy, show the baseball world tonight?
I mean, like I always say, we're going to go since the first inning to be the best we got, and that's what we've been doing. That's what we're going to continue to do.
Definitely working for the Blue Jays, as they have 60 hits, show, combined over their last 4 games, which pretty good, I would say, as they continue to win. 14 of their last 16 now, 4 in a row, as they beat the Tampa Bay Rays 8-1. Let's grab a couple more texts. I see one from Ruben in Alberta.
Yeah, okay, let's get to Ruben's text. Ruben just wants to say, let me just try and find it. I cannot find it, Rob.
I see it. Okay, you think Manoa is not a swing and miss pitcher. How about being a pitcher to reach 100 Ks and less starts than any other Jays in Jays history? So I want to clarify this. I'm not saying that he's not a swing and miss pitcher. If you look at, you know, Fangraphs and you go to their glossary, you can see strikeout rates and walk rates. Well, you know, strike percentage, K percentage, which is essentially strikeouts divided by batter's face, 20% is about average.
Right.
And Alec Manoa on the season is 25. So he is above average. He's great. In fact, 24% is listed as great. But you look at the most recent starts for him, and tonight, obviously, through the roof was the K percentage. But last start against the Yankees, 16%. Against Oakland, it was 8%. Against Detroit, 34%. Against the White Sox, 18%. Against the Nationals, it was 12%. And I, you know, we already said it before, you kind of throw that start out the window My point was, is he consistently going to be that type of guy? Because, you know, mentioned Jacob DeGrom, Max Scherzer, like right. the elite strikeout pitchers of the game. They strike out everybody, every game, right? You never see Jacob DeGrom with a 2-strikeout game or Max Scherzer with a 2-strikeout game. They're constantly striking out a ton of guys. So I'm just wondering, you know, can Manoah be that type of pitcher where he just goes out there and strikes everybody out and, you know, doesn't try to pitch to contact or try to work it? If he is, that's fine. I'm just mentioning that because I think if he can get to a level where we saw tonight, which mm-hmm. is elite with the 10 strikeouts over 8 innings, then that's a super high ceiling that I personally did not expect coming into the year.
Yeah, I think that's fair, right? Like, if you had to pick one Jays pitcher on this roster who you would apply that, you know, the title of strikeout pitcher to, at this point, it's probably Robbie Ray, maybe Jose Berríos, yeah. right? But it's Robbie Ray. I mean, like, the guy struggled on Friday against Baltimore and still ended that game, I think, with 8 strikeouts, I want to say, right? Like, that's the kind of pitcher he is. And I agree with you. I don't think that Alek Manoah right now is, but hey, if he evolves into that, and I think he has, like, you're rolling out the stats there, he has shown flashes of that. I think that's really cool.
One more text from Robin Belleville says, hey guys, big fan of the show. Just got home from putting his dog down. Really hoping for a Jays win. They got it. So in case you missed it, they got the win.
They did.
Would love for a shout out on the show post game. So there you go, Rob. Thanks for texting in as always. And thanks to everybody for tuning in. As always, you can reach us on the text line 590-590. Give us your name and your location. You can get us on Twitter at Wong SN590 and at SNS Alley with 2 L's. You have been listening to Blue Jays Baseball powered by Jack Links and Hunger Down to the Minors and Feed Your Wild Side. Blue Jays and Rays back at it tomorrow. Game 2 of this series. Jose Berríos gets the start against Drew Rasmussen as the Blue Jays will look to keep things rolling, going for a 5th straight win. Quick check on the out-of-town scoreboard. Seattle has a 2-0 lead on the Boston Red Sox right now. They're in the top of the 3rd, and earlier the Yankees beat Minnesota 6-5. So right now the Blue Jays have a game lead on Boston for the top wild card spot. Who would have thunk it 2.5 weeks ago? It's been quite a wild ride. We hope you enjoyed the program today, and join us again tomorrow night, game 2 of this series. Thanks for everyone tuning in. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.